Please enter your PIN followed by pound.
They say we introduce our show with please enter your PIN.
Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
This is Winfrey. This is our Monday night conference call. And we were just talking with Seth before we got on the air. And he had made a boo-boo last week because he played music in the background at the beginning of the call. And we couldn't get rid of it. So it reminded me. Now, here's a story that I never told you guys. This was my first mind-blowing synchronicity in my life. In fact, one day I'm going to do a channeling and I'm going to ask them, how did that occur? And is everyone on the conference call?
Yes, ma'am.
I haven't even muted you. You're so good today.
It is, by the way, February 7th,
thank you. And where's Nefertiti?
Gina is driving in her car.
She's driving in her car. Okay. Who just got on the line? You don't have to tell.
It might be the rest is muted. I don't know.
Well, you know, some of our most loyal, there's two very loyal listeners that never, ever say hello. Did you know that? Ever. And one of them is, you know who it is, Heis? You know who one of them is?
Yeah, the one I do, yes. The other one I don't.
The one of them is Temperance, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Temperance. And when I mention her name, she tells me she goes to the ceiling, okay? So, Temperance, pull yourself off the ceiling. And the other guy, gosh, and I better not say his name. I know him quite well. And maybe I'd be violating his free will if I said his name. The other guy, do you want to say hello? You don't have to identify yourself. Just say hello. No, it wasn't the cat. Nefertiti, did you just get home? This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
No, and I'm not home yet. I'm still driving, but I'm sure as soon as I get home, you guys will hear Nefertiti again.
Somebody else has got to get on the line, right? So I'll tell you this story quickly. This is an amazing story, and it has to do when I was in college. I used to go back to Philadelphia.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, I just muted everybody.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
And I was going to Berkeley, UC Berkeley, to be a physics major. And the reason I wanted to be a physics major is, when I mentioned this, that all through high school, I was a ham radio operator, and I had commercial radio licenses. Obviously, I was in my Atlantean technological stage. And I would come back to Philadelphia, and I would work at TV stations as summer relief. Because in those days, they didn't have computers. So everything was manual. So if somebody took a vacation, they had to hire someone to do their job. So on one of the stations was WHYY, and it was a radio educational radio and TV station. And I was working in the radio station, and I remember very clearly, I used to be kind of nonchalant and arrogant, and I would be playing things, and I would be calling people and chatting and going in between chatting with my friends and doing my job. So one evening, there was a Gilbert and Sullivan opera, and it was on records, and there were two turntables, and there was side one on turntable one, and slide 2 on turntable 2, and I had to fade side 1 out and fade side 2 in. In the meantime, I was on the phone talking to some girl that I was trying to impress, and I said, turn on your radio, I'll make it louder. And then I would make it louder at the station, and it would go louder at her house. And I was just having a jolly old time when suddenly there was a phone call from some listener that said the Gilbert and Sullivan opera was out of order. And so I looked down, and sure enough, I played side 3 instead of side 2. So when you made a mistake, you had to write it up, and they put it on a board, and everybody knew you made a mistake, and I got very chewed out for making that mistake, which was obviously a mistake of negligence, total negligence on my part. So the next week, there was another Gilbert and Sullivan opera. And, you know, now I was on very high alert to make no mistakes, or it could cost me my job. So again, it was side 1 and side 2. And I remember looking at side 1, and then I looked at side 2 again. And then I would look at side 1. It wasn't playing yet. It was waiting to play. And I remember thinking, I keep looking because maybe it'll turn over if I don't look. Maybe it'll... I was so scared to make a mistake. So I play side 1. And then I go into side 2. And there's a phone call from the very same guy that called the week before. And he says, hey, they're out of order. And I said, no, they're not. I've got side 2 on. And he says, hey, I'm a Gilbert and Sullivan expert. And I kept looking at it, said side 2. He said, go pull up the script. So in the record thing, they had a script. And sure enough, I was playing side 3. Somehow or another, the second week, they mixed up the radio labels and the labels on the thing. And side 2 was really side 3. And can you imagine, in all my life, I have never, ever run into a mixed up record label. That's the only time, and it was the week after I mixed it up. So that kept me thinking for a long time. Was it a coincidence that I think so hard that it would mix up, that I molecularly change things? And of course, I wasn't that metaphysical at the time, but that thought definitely occurred to me, because I was thinking so hard that they're going to mix up. They're going to revert. So that's one of my radio station stories. Somebody told me that this life was actually, I was finishing up 27 lifetimes, and obviously one of them was an Atlantean technological lifetime. Another one was a troubadour, and all the other things in between, a scholar, you know, a college student, thinking he wanted to be a professor. So that's what happens when you have a lot of unfinished business. You end up with a busy life. But now I think I found my niche. In fact, some of you that have read my material know that I started getting readings, little sentence fragments in my dreams. And a few years ago, one of the sentence fragments said, you finally found a job you won't get tired of. So here we are. I guess this is my job for the rest of my life. And we have an interesting call tonight. I'll stop talking about myself. And last week, we had Terry's conscious self, her conscious side, not her challenge side, share the experience that she had when she was in the hospital when her friend died, John. And John's a very evolved guy, very smart, And he was a great writer, and probably in the how would you say it, the territory of Walt Whitman or Robert Frost. He was that kind of persona, kind of a little crotchety but wise. And Terry thinks he might have been Socrates in one of his previous lifetimes. And when I read the story of Socrates, I saw a lot of parallels to John, very close parallels, because John was very unusual. He didn't want things that normal people wanted. He lived alone. He was 88 years old. He would hang out at the health food store, and he knew all the young people that worked at the health food store, and that was his family. He would go there every day, and that was his joy every day, to hang out in the health food store. And then when Terry moved into town, he would talk to Terry at least an hour a day. She would go visit him. And they were like really good friends. So when he died, it was an unusual death because he was fairly healthy at 88, and he crashed into a building. A building on the complex where he lived, broke all his ribs. They took him to Flagstaff, which is about 30 miles away. And first they thought he was going to live, and then he started slipping away. His lungs started filling with liquid. And finally, Terry was there. She slept there. She was holding his hand. And at the moment he passed, she had an amazing experience, something that she had never experienced before. And, you know, Terry, why don't you share what happened just so that people didn't, but don't go too long, because we want to get into the question session. But just for anyone that didn't listen last week, what happened?
The staff of the hospital was there taking very good care of him, and John's daughter was there, Jane, and I was there. And the first day, they thought, like, he was critical when he was brought in, but then he stabilized, and they thought he was going to survive. However, the second day when I went back, Jane told me that he wasn't going to survive, and that there was a process that individuals went through in the death process, and he was not able to breathe properly because of the broken ribs, so he wasn't able to expel the carbon dioxide, and it was permeating his organs, and his liver and kidneys were failing, and it was just a matter of time before he would pass away. So they put him in another room with a very beautiful view of the snow-capped peaks out the window on the other side of Flagstaff. So I kept thinking, you know, well, he'll turn around somehow, but he wasn't. And then I noticed that he had he was exterior to his body. I can see spirits. And I noticed he was outside of his body, and he was looking at Jane and I like we were a couple of aliens in a science experiment that he was doing and observing. So I realized, you know, we were talking about him and excluding him from the conversation. So I brought him into the conversation, and he went back into his body and was communicative and would answer questions. And he stayed connected with us then pretty much right up until the end. It's like just before the end, he opened his eyes. I said, "Do you see the mountain?" And he nodded and said, "Yes." But then the unusual experience was after he stopped breathing, Jane asked me, "Do I see any angels?" Because I mentioned earlier that I had seen angels around him. And there was one huge angel that was bigger than John, and he's 6'1". And so I told John, because I can see spirits, I told him to let the angel show him where the portal is to the tunnel of light. And so the angel was showing him, and I was drawing up behind, and I told John, I said, don't give the angel any trouble, because I wanted him to make it to the other side. And so the angel showed him, and he went into the tunnel, and I went right in behind him because I wanted to make sure that he was getting off okay. And this light was amazing. It was propelling me forward, and it was moving through me, through my whole spirit, and like cleaning connections off. And I was talking to John in the tunnel, and I was saying, go find your jazz friends, because he used to go listen to Billie Holiday. I said, go find Billie Holiday. And he was on PT Boat 77, so I said, go find your friends from PT Boat 77. And I said, go find Robert Frost, who had been a friend of his. And he said that this was my telepathy. He didn't want to leave me. He was worried that I wouldn't be okay if he left. And so I told him that he needed to go and break trail for Jane and I, and needed to go first. And he said, was I sure? And he was still worried that I wouldn't be okay, and he was pausing and hesitating in the tunnel of light. And so I told him, yes, I would be okay, and he needed to break trail and go find his friends. And Jane said, go find the poetry corner, because he was a poet. And so he finally, he let go, and he went on in the tunnel of light. He was moving. He was excited about seeing his friends that he missed so much. And I had to, at that point, back out of the tunnel of light, because it was starting to disconnect me from my body, and then I was getting disoriented because of that. I was very oriented to the tunnel.
Terry, you missed you. That's the best line.
Yes, at one point, John said, come with me. And I said, you need to go first and break trail. Was that the line?
No, you already said what that one. When you said, John, be nice and go with the angel.
Yeah, no, I said, don't give the angel any
John
trouble.
John is very, very, very gnarly. Very obstinate. And another funny thing that Terry told me is when he saw his vital signs going, and you know, dying was a actually a topic of thought for John. He was concerned about dying. He wasn't sure what happened when you died. And now he's watching himself, and he knew his time was up, and he kind of like had a smirk on his face and said, uh-oh.
Right. He would come out of his coma, and he'd realize his injuries, and he'd say, uh-oh.
Okay, well, listen, I don't want to talk any more about it. I want to talk to our group guys, and
can I say just one quick last thing? His greatest fear was that there was life after death. That was his greatest fear. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I'll tell you another thing. John used to say in recent times, how did you get Terry to talk so much? She never used to talk. And as you can see, when we started doing shows, Terry was very shy. Now she's better than me. In any case, let's call in the light, because what I want to do, and of course, this is unrehearsed, we don't know what we're going to hear. Death is a mystery to all of us. on this side. And Terry had this interesting experience of this angel and this tunnel of light. And now we have sources on the other side who can help us understand this process. And that's a rare experience. So are you ready, Terry?
Okay.
Are you nervous?
Uh-huh.
You're okay with a little tentative? All right. So let's create a group energy and bring in our positive intent. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy through the planets, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy, a blending of our spirits, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, operating in the Christed light, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Fa'an, and we are here for this special moment in time to greet each and every one of you who listens to the call or hears the call later or reads the transcript. And we are here to answer your questions.
Thank you. Are you okay with the topic we have for tonight? Talk about...
Yes. You may ask any question, however, we reserve the right not to answer.
Okay. Well, first off, could you explain a little more about this tunnel of light that Terry was talking about? Why is there a tunnel of light? And does everyone perceive that when they die? Or is that an option for those people who are graduating to higher dimensions?
This is an option for individuals who are ready and whose heart is open more than 50% that they may perceive this tunnel and move through it and be ready with their open heart to move into their new circumstance. If they are not open with an open heart more than 50%, and then their attentions are in the areas of the lower chakras, then they will not perceive the tunnel of light unless it is an more unusual circumstance wherein they may be negatively oriented and still able then to perceive the tunnel of light and to move into it.
Thank you. Did John end up in that higher dimensional Earth called Terra that we've talked about a few years ago?
He moved into the receiving station, which is in shared space with Earth body and higher dimension. We see the area, and it is your heavenly area, and it is a switch station also for individuals that are headed to other places, and it is a halfway station wherein individuals orient. We give you further information on the tunnel of light. The tunnel of light is a, as it is spoken of, is a tunnel shape, and it is a vortex wherein light is specially generated to cleanse and purify an individual and to further disconnect him, her, from the energies of connection which would trap the individual in the earth plane. And this tunnel of light disconnects the person and transports the person to this higher dimension, which is a way station for other areas wherein the individual may like to go. It is a debriefing station and area where the individual can rest and can detoxify from the earthly experience and get his her strength back and his her confidence in herself back, and to be renewed in strength and can greet relatives or wait for relatives to help them cross over. And then with time and study in the libraries of knowledge can then move into other areas in which they might wish to establish themselves.
Now, is this the Ra group that is the major helper in this realm?
The Ra group is more loosely formulated to move in and out of the scenarios and to be helpers at Rome, roaming and available on call. This is more an area of angelic governorship or participation. It is an angelic realm.
Uh-huh. Now, the thought occurred to me that if Terry was not in the hospital and Johnny was by himself, he may not have gone to this place. Correct?
One of the things that Terry and Jane did for and with John was to express love for him, which opened up his heart to receive and to give love back, which opened up his vulnerability to be able to let go of the realm and move through the tunnel of light.
So whether Terry was there or not, he would have gone through it.
Had he opened up his heart, he would have gone through it. There's some possibility that if he did not, if he merely left with a cold, hard feeling, he may have not translated to the other side, but may have stayed in the astral. So Terry and Jane provided a very good service. As if someone is dying, it is good to be with them and to express love and to keep them current with love, that they may move over to the other realm with a loving give and take.
Thank you. Now, when John went through this tunnel of light, where was he when he came out of it? Was he around people? Did it look like not abnormal, but it looked like it could have been a normal surrounding?
Would you repeat that?
When John went through the tunnel of light, where did he arrive? Did he have a body?
He arrived in the receiving station in his energy body with the abilities to think, to move, to be seen, to see, and to communicate at a very much higher frequency than he left. He translated in the tunnel of light to a higher frequency, much as an elevator takes one to a higher floor. The tunnel of light translates one to a higher frequency and spectrum wherein they may view others and may be seen by others who are at that high frequency. The dense body of the third density is not needed in that density, and the jewel-like light giving off frequencies of the individuals in that realm where one communicates via thought and telepathy as well as verbally, it all moves together into a shining spiritual body that is able to move with grace and ease and communicate easily with telepathy and thought and also words.
Well, okay. Now, when John is experiencing other people from this place, he doesn't really have a physical body, nor do the people. How does the experience of seeing other people translate into not having any physical senses?
There is physical senses in that realm. There is physical senses, the sense of touch, the sense of moving energies, the sense of motion, movement, the sense of sound. It is just at a much higher frequency. We would also, if you like, explain what happens after the receiving station, where one is received by friends and relatives and the angelic beings in the realm who are welcoming individuals there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Pardon?
You can explain that.
Yes. One is, after the welcoming, is wrapped in a cloud. You might call it a cloud, a mist. A very warm, welcoming, soft, cloud-like substance that radiates to the being of warmth and care and friendliness, yet absorbs from the being negativity and harshness, which the individual may have encountered, or trauma, vibrations, and gently absorbs those vibrations and loves the individual. As the individual moves into reverie, the individual is allowed to move into a state of remembrance, remembering the individual's the good times one has had with the individuals of his lifetime on Earth and the difficult times in what his her influence on others has been, so one can clearly view what one's impact has been in the Earth realm, and then any negativity then is absorbed as an individual is allowed to radiate off negativity and move one into a state to be in harmony and to receive and give love in the heavenly realm. And then the next step would be to determine where the individual would like to find a home or to move into a next phase of growth. There are positions open that one may seek and be shown. You may continue.
Excuse me, Alison. The angel that came down to work with John, if you want to call it an angel, is that part of the Elohim or the Ra group? And is that that entity's particular job to assist the people who are dying?
That is correct. That individual's particular job is people are categorized with what angelic being would be the best help for an individual that was passing over and would best match the spiritual size of not the individual's body, but his larger body.
So there's a lot of administration going on.
Yes, there is.
Trying to figure out who's best for that particular individual.
Who would be the best one with the most connection and affinity and the most presence. In John's case, ethical and loving presence.
Mm-hmm. And in John's case, was it a Ra? Would it always be a Ra person, or would it always be an Elohim, or could it be either?
This would be an angel within the angelic realm, and would John then move into the Ra group, which he would, that's one of his choices, then he could move into such. Generally, it is negotiated, and the Ra group is alerted, and the individual him herself is alerted in the subconscious. It's the past track of the individuals plays a part, and it is all evaluated.
Now, I know that it's probably possible that that individual might choose to take an incarnation on another planet somewhere, even in another galaxy. If that's possible, then are they kind of briefed and say, well, if you go here, it'll be like this, and if you go there, it'll be like that? How does the direction established?
It is a knowingness wherein the individual may have had a past life in a foreign galaxy and may have been stranded in this galaxy in a spaceship disaster or crash, and then may incarnate into your frame, but then have this memory of the past and the longing to go back, and it can all be matched up vibrationally, as different planets have different vibrations that other planets do not carry all the frequencies of a certain planet, and an individual may yearn to go home to another planet where he has found solace.
I see. So, in order to get to certain planets and certain galaxies, you need a certain state of evolution. Like, suppose somebody said, I want to incarnate on Andromeda or Arcturus.
Generally, an individual makes a track wherein he feels comfortable and then will move to reconnect with individuals he has connected with previously and is in a growth experience with, and will seek out those that he needs in order to receive his best growth experience. It takes a real hardcore wanderer to say, I am going to a totally different place and I'm going to check that out.
They have to be quite curious, yes?
Yes.
And where John is right now, is he aware of us?
Is he what?
Aware of us.
He is aware of us at a level, at a certain level. He is aware, and therefore anyone that has known John or anyone that has experienced anything good from the information would just help by sending warm thoughts. How did the story help you? Anyone that's known John, what wonderful experiences have you heard hearing stories about him or experienced in talking with him or in being with him? Think of the joys, how he has helped you in any way, that he will get that thought, and as he does his cocoon-like adventure with his memories, these thoughts of how he has helped or made or brightened another person's life, made it better or brightened it, will help him in his regaining of his strength and his emotional body.
Thank you. And if someone finds himself in a predicament where they're dying, best role, what's the best way to relate to that circumstance?
To look for the tunnel of light, to look for the portal, to ask the angels to come, to think of someone that you love, to think of a good time you have had with someone, something that can lighten your spirit and can open your heart.
Mm-hmm. And if you know somebody that's passing, it's a really good idea to go to the hospital and spend time with them. Yes?
Yes. To be with them and to track with them, to not ignore that they are there, but even if they have gone exterior, to speak with them as they are there. and they are most likely, even if unconscious, hearing everything that you are saying, although it does not seem like it. So include them, send them love, tell them how much you love them, if you do. And this will get them a good send-off.
Mm-hmm. And a loving send-off, it sounds as if, could make the difference between whether someone graduates or not. So it's a big deal. Am I correct in that?
Yes. When an individual has had their life violently suddenly cut short, it is harder for them to realize there is no transition. And so they see that they are still alive. And so they tend to stay in this realm as a ghost.
Mm-hmm. Now, Terry believed she was a ghost for many lifetimes. Is that true?
I was a ghost between my last life and this life, and I was a ghost between the life before and the last life. I was a ghost for a series of lifetimes. I was a ghost in between, and I did not go back to the heaven realm. I merely translated and stayed in this realm and went and chose another body and was born again. Although with not very much time in between the incarnations. And this was created by lifetimes, for instance, in the French Revolution, where I was a writer and trying to make peace between the king and the peasants, and they decided that I needed to have my head chopped off. And this, I then had a series of lifetimes where between lifetimes I did not translate back to the heavenly realm. I just continued from one life to the next as there was no transition point.
And I guess when you're in between lifetimes, you don't remember to look for a heaven realm or a column of light. Something has to trigger you.
Something one does not realize when they're suddenly, their body is suddenly dies, that that there is a transition and they still feel alive and they're walking around. And but no one can see them or not many people can see them or hear them, respond to them, and it is very, very hard, a hard experience, which leads to one not saying anything because nobody answers.
You can see ghosts right now, can't you? If there's a spirit walking around? Yeah. You know what? We have to say goodbye to everybody. It's 7:52, and he's got to go to his next show. So thank you all for listening.
I just wanted to clarify that I can see ghosts when one is there. I don't see them if they are not there.
Well, if you saw them and they weren't there, that would be a credibility problem, right?
Definitely.
The question is, how do we prove that there's a ghost there? But listen, let's get off and say thank everyone for listening tonight. And keep in mind our Wednesday call. You can submit questions. Questions@messagetoday.net. And some of you are going through big issues right now. Yes, questions. It is. Oftentimes, it's not the answer to the question. It's the way they come in and work with you and connect with you energetically. We've gotten a lot of emails from people that have had that experience. So being given the opportunity to ask a question is not trivial. And thank you, Terry. Thank everyone who's participating and helping us with that. And we'll see you all next time.
All callers are muted. To stop conference recording, press 1. Your conference recording has stopped. All callers are unmuted.
All right, everyone's unmuted.
There are 2 moderators and 11 participants on the call.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, hi.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
People are going to be dying. Some people are going to, never mind, it's a bad joke.
I just can't wait to die, man.
My father used to die.
Hey,
who's that? Is that Chris? Hi, Chris.
Hey, man. I got on kind of late because you didn't send me the thing. I think you're doing it on purpose again.
I've been trying to not let you know about these things. No, I sent it out an hour early, okay? So my father used to, when he would go by a cemetery, he used to say, hey, people are dying to get in there.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
geez. My father had some bad jokes.
Oh, God.
Why did the chicken cross the street?
To get to the other side.
To get to the other side. How did you know that, Terry?
Somebody told me the joke before.
What are you doing on the line? You're supposed to be off.
Oh.
Thank you so much, Terry. You're awesome.
We're still on the radio.
For Wednesday.
What's that?
We're still on the radio. We're still on the radio.
But, you know, you can...
Still on the radio? Well, let's keep it clean. Hi, everybody on CBS.
Everybody's still on the radio because there's no show after you. You can pretty much end
I'd
when
like
you like
to you,
since there's no show.
Yes, are you there?
Right now, we figured, hey, we'll just let you ramble on. Can you hear me okay? There you go. Upside,
yeah.
Seth had the volume down. No, just go as long as you like, folks. We love your show.
What?
There's no one after you. Have fun.
There's no one after us?
There's no one after you.
Well,
yeah, it hasn't been for about
callers.
A week or so.
If anyone
so.
Wants to call, they can call. Otherwise, we're finishing.
All right. You
well,
got it.
Hey, what's the number to call, Don?
888? Oh, sorry. That's station one. 530-413-4511 is a great one, right? Or, let's see, I don't know. I don't even remember the numbers that come into station two. I don't work it as much. Let me grab them. There is actually 3. They all start, they're all direct lines, not 800 numbers. It's 530-413-4511, then 4515. And then there's another number, 415-287-0074. So we got extra numbers.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm gonna get my own show.
Oh, by the way, guys, that's Don Newsom of the Donna, formerly of
the
Don
Newsom
Show.
Good to meet
what
you
about
guys.
The Chris Show?
Well, Chris.
I like that. Don, Chris, Wynn. All we need is a David and a Joe.
we can have the Don and Chris Show.
I can bring a lot to it.
You can. You know what?
You might have to prove that, big boy. You might have to prove that.
The thing is would you take more away than you bring?
Well, that's entirely possible, too. But I'd like to give it a shot.
Don, Chris's famous hero is Jim Morrison.
What's that? I'm sorry. See, I'm trying to hear other people going on in the studio. We've got several of us here and a couple stations going live. And so it's... a little more difficult for me sometimes to pay attention. I apologize. So
that's okay.
Well, do you want to continue
on?
Did you want to continue
on? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
No,
good. I'm leaving. You guys are going to be live.
I don't want to continue.
You don't want to be live? We're live right
Terry,
now. They already
you
know
continue?
What you sound like.
Well, I could tell another story.
Yeah, tell some stories.
Well, Terry, I'll just get off and you can finish up.
You know, that almost sounds inviting.
See, I need my show. I got a million stories.
Well, maybe I'll save my story for next week, and then because if you get off, then I want to get off.
Okay, I'll get off, and then you get off.
And
then we
Don,
can all
why
get
don't
off.
You why don't you talk to Chris for half an hour? Chris really wants to be on the radio. Don, are you there?
I'm here. I missed that. Sorry.
You can talk to Chris.
You know, really, I wasn't even thinking of being on the radio program. Why do I have to be on the radio program? I have nothing to say. I got to tell you, I've already realized I'm wrong about everything. I absolutely know nothing. And with me, that's kind of profound because I believe it. It's unfortunate when you get to the point you actually believe you're that stupid or ignorant of information because it does something to you. You almost start to become that ignorant, maybe. So don't go that far, folks. Don't believe you're that ignorant. Only I should do that. No, really, I've been overwhelmed by information, and I don't have any answers or any information. I have nothing to speak about anymore, Wynn. I've actually prattled too much in my life, and, you know,
well, my problem is I have too much information and not a place to put it.
Well, that's because you're too young. You're still young. You still think you know something.
Yeah, exactly. I got a while to go before I know something. Exactly. Right on there.
My physical age now, I've lived many, many lifetimes.
No, but when you're young, it doesn't matter. You can still know a lot, but it doesn't matter anymore.
You can hear that machine in the background?
That's my espresso machine,
folks. Yes, indeed. We live well at PBS Radio.
Bob Dylan made the statement, I forgot more than you'll ever remember.
I miss doing the show with Terry.
I can say it right now.
I actually do miss parts of it.
I've
it's just that,
them, you know, I have many, many stories.
I miss you guys. I miss your audience. I miss the love.
And you notice that Chris and Don talk at the same time, and neither of them knows the other, any attention to whether the other's talking. They just go right on. Now, what does that tell you?
When I stop, they're both going to talk again.
Let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, but you see, I've got total control being in the studio. They're going to hear me.
You can press the button.
Yeah, that's the beauty of being in the studio.
Reminds me of the days when we did the Don and Wynn show, and Don would show up. Well, I won't say it. Remember how you used to show up, Tom?
Oh, inebriated?
Inebriated, right. We were busy talking to dolphins while Don was inebriated.
I need my own show, but I need some financing.
Chris needs a backer, Don.
Chris needs a backer?
By the way, anyone
an on-site backer
in, right?
or a remote backer?
There are two moderators and three participants on the call.
Oh, well, all our participants are going away.
All right, well, I'm going to let you go.
You see, the quality of the show starts going down at this point.
Well, that's totally my fault.
Can you hear me?
Totally my fault.
Who is that?
Can you hear me, Wynn?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
It's Dee Collier from Missouri.
Yeah, hi, Dee.
Hi, Dee.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm okay.
Hello, my dad's in Missouri.
This is the first Monday night call I think I've been on. But I wanted to say that I really enjoyed what I learned, and I'm sorry you lost your friend, Terry, but I am thankful for the experience of learning what you did and learning what's after. Because it really helps take a fear away from me.
Yes.
Gina, are you on the line?
Oh.
Gina? No, she's gone. Okay.
I just wanted to tell one quick thing. One time Seth dropped in, and Wynn asked, like, what was the difference between, the main difference between Seth and him and me, and Seth said that he could gracefully move from situation to situation. Like, he could drop in this realm and talk and leave and drop in different situations.
Is it the one of Seth speaks? Yeah, I read that when I was a teenager.
Yeah, I really learned a lot from all what he said about being able to move in and out of the situation gracefully.
I did too. Mm-hmm. No, I stole that book from the Helena, Arkansas Library, and that's what kind of got me going. Sorry, Helena Library.
Yeah.
I will give back to you.
Yeah, that's a good book.
There are 2 moderators and 3 participants on the call.
Are we still on the air?
Yes, we are, because as long as I'm talking, we're on the air.
I hope that. I don't want anybody pinpointing my location.
All right. Well, I'm hanging up. Thank you all, whoever's left. This is Chris.
Right, give me a call sometime when you can.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Vin, did you email that song to Chris yet?
Which song? Do It Till You're Sick of It?
That stand-up comedian. What's his name? Rodney Carrington.
Why would I? I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I emailed you that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't. Didn't do it yet.
And I also collected some more tele emails. Are you interested? I collected some more clips where he does. Where he's a stand-up comedian. It's very funny.
Hey, I'm ready to get out there. I'm going to do some comedy and some music and some of everything. But I get some money coming in.
I'll email it to you, Bivin, and then forward it.
Yeah. Okay, just say, forward this to Chris.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Guys, don't be offended, but I swear, every day I get 15 emails from people telling me to look at this and look at that.
I believe you.
And I just...
I'm not going to do that to you, even though I want to. I don't know that to you.
But I know that you did look at this song and you loved it.
Okay. I mean, I look at things. Occasionally something gets my interest. But oftentimes I look at something just to be considerate.
You ever look at my Facebook page, all the stuff I put on there?
You're too controversial. I mean, I see it, you know? I've already gone through that, you know?
I'm not going to change. I'm not going to quiet down, probably. That's just who I am now.
I'm not telling you to change. Listen, I was in Berkeley. I used to stand on cars. I got tear gassed. I know what it's like to be young and rebellious.
I'm not that young anymore, though.
Well.
But, you know, I'm going to speak my mind, you know. And I understand. You're a little more high profile, you know. I can get away with it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see you all later. I'm hanging up.
Good night. See you later.
Bye, everybody.
Love you all. Bye-bye.